winter, but it has been certainly a winter that has extended on and on and on. It's been a gray and wet winter. So that's kind of what we have in mind. I hope that you will pick up the phone, give us a call, toll free. If you can hear me, you can reach me toll free without any charge. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. This time of year, we are at the pre-emergent weed control time. And so if you have had a history of grass burrs and if you've had a history of any kind of summertime weeds, you need to get the pre-emergent out now. Grass burrs and crabgrass are the two for which you're most concerned. You need to get your pre-emergent weed control granules out now, especially now if you're in the southern two-thirds of the state, south of the I'd say Texarkana to Dallas-Fort Worth to Abilene line. If you're south of that line, you need to be applying, let's see, let me think of my date, 23rd of February. You have a week left. That would be the time along that line to begin applying Baylan or Dimension or Halts. It's a little bit early actually to apply them in the central third of the state. But in South Texas, you need to apply Dimension, Halts, or Baylan granules to stop the germination of those weeds. It's just people have been pushing on me for so long about pre-emergence that I kind of got lost in the time right then. So, about a week from now would be the time to begin putting those granules out in the central third of the state, and then about 2 weeks from now in North Texas, far North Texas. So. Anyway, I would very much suggest that you make note of that because you get one chance with those. If you miss it, then you're in trouble and you have to wait a year and you have to put up with the grass burrs. Other things you need to do, if you're in Central Texas, the Hill Country, or in North Texas, you are at the very tail end of the transplanting season. Odds are that you in South Texas already are seeing things growing pretty aggressively. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as I always say. I need to let you know that because if my answer is off by 4 or 5 days and you say, what does he know? He must not look out the window. Well, that would explain a little bit of it. And so if you're seeing things actively growing, blooming, and such, then it's too late to transplant them. You have to wait until they're dormant next winter. But in North Texas, they're not yet growing and budding and blooming. And so you can finish up your transplanting, but get with it because the weather has turned nice and things are going to start popping very, very quickly. Early plants already are budding out in the Dallas-Fort Worth and south of that area. East Texas, I'm already seeing posts on my Facebook page of things in full bloom. And once that begins to happen, you're going to lose them if you try to dig them and move them. They have to be moved when they're dormant. If you're going to be scalping your lawn, this is a good time to do that as well. Pick up that phone. Give us a call now. Let's fill up the lines. Nick Carissimi waiting for your phones to ring, your calls to ring through. 888-256-1080. I prefer not to predict what you're going to ask, but to wait for your call. And that's the way you do it. It's very simple, and I'm very gentle. I'm not going to make you feel worse for having called me, I promise. 888-256-1080. I broadcast each Saturday from Alpine, where I spent my first 2 years of my life. Mom and Dad were on faculty at Sol Ross, and then they moved to College Station, and you know what? I went with them. Imagine that. And where they were on staff at Texas, let's see, Agricultural and Mechanical College of Texas at that point. And my dad co-founded the Range and Forestry Department there. And Mom was a librarian on campus, actually an elementary school librarian before that. So that's where my roots were in College Station. And so I've kind of been around, kind of like Johnny Cash. I've been all around, and I love my state. So College Station is one of the stations to which I broadcast, and also to Madisonville and Crockett and Waco and Wichita Falls and along the Red River and in Brownwood and San Angelo, Big Spring, and just a lot of different markets, Corpus Christi, Victoria, some very nice cities, and I'd love to hear from you. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. This is your time. Let me get a first break out of the way, and we'll go to the phones. The thing I want to mention to you is my book, Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening. I'm going to be doing a bunch of book signing over the weekend and also Monday. And we'll get them right in the mail to you. This book is not in stores, and it's not on Amazon. That's my personal choice. And the reason that I did that was I wanted to be able to sign every book that is sold. I also self-published this book because I wanted to have my own editor, Carolyn Sky. I had worked with Carolyn for 10 or 15 years, and I knew how incredibly good she is. And I wanted to work with Cindy Smith, the graphic designer. I know how incredibly good she is. And so that has worked out just beautifully. This book is the book I always wanted to have for you. And when I worked through committees with publishing houses, it just didn't work. And so Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening is that book. Printed in Texas, in San Antonio, on high-quality paper. It's a hardback book, not in stores, not on Amazon, but available from my website, neilsprey.com, or by calling my office Monday through Friday. The website is by far the better way. And you know what? This book would be $50 or more if you bought it in a store. But since it's not there, and since I can sell it to you directly, it's only $33.95 plus tax and postage. And I sign every book before we mail them. I'll personalize it to you if you wish. Don't go into springtime without this book. It'll help you save so much money. Chapter 2 alone, the calendar, the 48-page calendar of when to plant, prune, fertilize, and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden, that chapter alone will pay for this book. I guarantee your satisfaction with the book, or I'll refund every penny. Neil Sprey's Lone Star Gardening. Take a look at it at neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com, or you can order by calling Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769, or at neilsperry.com. Why pay every month for a temporary storage facility when you can own a genuine Mueller building? Mueller's backyard buildings are easy to assemble. They're affordable, and they offer a permanent storage solution right in your own backyard. With a variety of sizes available and more than 30 colors from which to choose, their backyard building kits complement any home or landscape. And if your equipment requires even more storage space, Mueller's Standard Series buildings are ready to go to work for you. From workshops to big barns, these pre-engineered, bolt-together buildings come in a variety of size and color options. You can also visit Mueller online at MuellerInc.com. Let's stop. Let's have a spelling class. MuellerInc.com to get a free customized building estimate. And while you're there, click on their color selector tool. Make choosing the perfect combination of colors an easy decision for you. To find out more about Mueller Steel Buildings and Metal Roofing, call 877-2, that's the number 2, 877-2-MUELLER today. 877-268-3553. Or visit them at MuellerInc.com. Mueller, lawn and garden steel buildings for permanent storage. All right, Kelly, thank you very, very much. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call right now, won't you? Love to hear from you. 888-256-1080. There is one other question that has come up time and time and time again recently, and that is, how soon can I plant new grass? Everything right now seems to center around turf grass. All the questions that I get seem to be around turf grass. A lot of them have to do with pre-emergent weed control. As far as planting seed is concerned, you're way too early for that in almost all of the state. Only in deepest South Texas would you even want to think about planting Bermuda grass from seed. You need really warm soil to be planting a Bermuda grass seed. So hold off on that for a good while. In most of Texas, in South Central Texas, Bermuda seed after late April, and in most of Texas, May. It has to be very warm for Bermuda seed to have a good chance of germinating. It likes the hot weather. Sod is a little bit different. You could plant Bermuda sod now if you had to. Let's say you have a brand new house and you can't occupy it until you have a lawn in. That's the way cities are. They require sod, a lawn, before they'll give a certificate of occupancy. And so you see sod going down in early December. Oh, man. And that's just pick a city, Wichita Falls. Oh gosh, it's going to get cold. But it's the requirement, and there is a pretty good chance of Bermuda surviving the winter, even if it's planted in the winter. But that's certainly not the good time. If you plant it now, you have good likelihood that it'll make it. It's certainly not going to grow very much until April. The optimum time to plant Bermuda sod would be mid-April and on. The optimum time to plant St. Augustine would be then also, and I wouldn't plant St. Augustine nearly as early as I would Bermuda. Again, I'm focusing on the northern half of the state. South Texas, you can plant all of that right now. Not a problem. And Zoysia as well. Just don't rush it. If you can wait a couple weeks, it's better. If all you have is bare ground under beneath or where you've maybe taking out an on-ground pool. I'm trying to think of an example, and you want to cover that bare ground with sod instead, or you took out a child's sandbox because the child is now in graduate school or something, whatever, and you want to put sod in. Then wait a while. You've waited 22 years. Wait a while and put the sod in April when it's a little bit better. So that's that option. So those are the questions that I'm getting about sod, and I'm getting a lot of questions about lawns and how to prevent chinch bugs. Well, you don't prevent them. You deal with them as soon as you see them in June. See their damage showing up. You may not see the chinch bugs, but you'll see the damage beginning to show up, and you deal with it right away in June. Perhaps you want to know how to cope with take-all root rot. If you're in the western two-thirds or 80% of the state of Texas, you probably have seen the effects of take-all root rot, especially on St. Augustine, maybe on Zoysia, where the lawn just is lethargically yellow in April and May, and you can't seem to get it to green up. You put nitrogen on it, and it doesn't help. And anyway, that's a disease that is on the surface of the soil. But there's no preventive. You don't put anything out now. It's too early. Wait and see. Maybe it won't be a problem this year like it has been in a couple of springs in the past. Let's wait and find out on that one. And then I'll address one other common question that I get about especially St. Augustine and shade issues. I want to save that one because that's the big one. That's the one I get all of the time. It singly is of the I estimate that I've taken about 450,000 questions in 47 years on the radio, and this is number one. And I'll save it for right after this break. I want to share the big one with you. And if you've listened to me for more than a moment, you've heard this question, and I'll spend a little time answering it right after this break. Neil Sperry's eGardens is my free electronic newsletter. It comes out every Thursday night, just a little after 6 o'clock. It comes directly from my computer to your computer. And I hope that you will sign up for it. You do have to subscribe to it, but it's free. And I promise you a couple of things. I promise you first that I'm not going to spam you. I'm not going to send you a bunch of, well, now that you're a subscriber to eGardens, look what else I have for you. It doesn't work that way. You get eGardens. That's what you signed up for. That's what you get. I'm not going to give you offers to everything else that I've ever heard of. And the other thing I promise you is I will never give or sell your email address to anybody else so that they can do that to you. It is just eGardens. If there are 52 Saturday, I'm sorry, not Saturdays, Thursdays in the year, you'll get 52 eGardens. You might get an extra one if there's a weather alert or some other significant issue, and it might come a couple of days early because Thanksgiving comes on Thursday, and we don't send eGardens on Thanksgiving. We send it on Tuesday that week. That's no big deal. Okay, so here's what's in eGardens. There are five stories each week. One of them is always gardening this weekend. What do you do in the ensuing 3 or 4 days? There may be a story on the plant of the week, what is really great this week. For example, this week it might be on vegetables that you would plant right now, or it might be the early season wildflowers, or it might be whatever, daffodils. You know, I bet that's maybe a couple weeks ago. All right, so that's one other thing. The question of the week, what is being asked of me every time I turn around? That's going to be in there. Might be two questions of the week. So that's what you get in eGardens, and then maybe something I'm doing around my own landscape or garden. Five stories, kind of like an old-fashioned garden section in the newspaper, but it's written by me specifically for Texas. We have a couple of guest writers, authors, who write once a month for us, but basically the 20 or 25 stories each month I write. That's eGardens. It is free. You can see what it looks like if you go to my website where you sign up for eGardens at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com, and then click on the eGardens tab and scroll down just beneath the sign-up spot, and you can see the last three or four issues of eGardens right there. And you'll say, hey, that is good. I want that. And it'll come directly to your email. We have 55,000 subscribers now, and it has grown over the years. I think you'll like it, too. Neil Sperry's eGardens at neilsperry.com. I'll be back right after these messages. Thank you, Kelly. Kelly Robinson there, my friend of many, many years. And indeed, that number, if you'd like to call right now, 888-256-1080. First nice day we've had across Texas for a long time, and I know the nurserymen were hopscotching down the street as they went to work this morning. 888-256-1080. And I know a lot of people are out working in their yards right now, and I bet that my Facebook page is going to be loaded up with questions that they have encountered as the day has progressed. The question that I am asked so many times, every spring, every summer, every year, every day of every year. And it's a very diffused question. There are a lot of parts to it, but here's the basic premise of it. Neil, I've been in my house, pick a year, but it's got to be 10 or 20 years. I've been in my house 20 years. My trees have gotten quite large. My lawn used to look so great, and now it's just thinning out so badly. It's St. Augustine that did just so well for so long, and now it's thinning out. And I try to plant new St. Augustine. It looks good for a month, and then it dies. What's going wrong? Are the trees taking all the nutrients out of the soil? I'm giving you a composite of all the different things that people blend into this question as they ask it. Has the soil eroded away? I see a lot of tree roots. This is often under fruitless mulberry trees and live oaks, for example. Has the soil eroded away, so I need to bring in new soil? That's a question, not a statement. What do I do? What time of year? Do I need to aerate the soil? What's happening? Everybody's angry at me, my family, the HOA. What do I do? And here is my answer, always. I would almost guarantee you that you do not have enough sunlight to support any kind of lawn grass. And the response then is, I know I do. I did for 20 years. I know I do. And it turns into a long discussion. And I'm not an argumentative kind of person, but it has been toe-to-toe. My wife has witnessed this, and she has even commented, they're not giving down at all, are they? They don't get it. And I said, yeah, I know. I've been through it so many times. This is not hundreds of times, folks. This is thousands. Let me explain some of the things that happen in this situation. First of all, St. Augustine is our most shade-tolerant lawn grass. But St. Augustine does not need shade. If you think of the sod farms in South Texas, where St. Augustine is grown and elsewhere, but especially in South Texas, they're not under trees. They're out in full sun. South Texas sun is foreboding. It's hot. It's sunny. And St. Augustine is growing out there and thriving out there. So it needs the sun to do its best growth. When we put it into the shade, it is a downhill curve of how well it will grow. And the more shade it gets, the sharper that decline is in the curve. And when we get down to about 6 hours of sunlight a day, then the decline begins to become quite steep. When we get down to 5, the St. Augustine is holding on, maybe. And we get down to 4, and it's beginning to thin out. It may hold on, especially in South Texas, where winter is not as challenging to it. But below 4, and probably below 5 hours of sunlight a day, in the northern half of the state, I don't think that St. Augustine is going to hold its own, because it will turn brown in the winter, and then come spring, it has to gear up again. And added to that, when you come back and try to replace sod in that kind of a shade issue, you have thinning due to shade, you have winter dieback due to cold, and you have loss of roots due to new sod being dug and transported and planted. Strikes 1, 2, 3. And in most baseball games I've played, 3 strikes and you're out. And that's why it's almost impossible to get new St. Augustine sod to grow in shade of 4 or 5 hours of sunlight. People tell me I'm going to try it one more time, and I say, well, one more time, you're going to be sad, and you're going to waste a lot of money. So, and I have to tell you, I tried this myself, and I learned the hard way. This was 35 years ago. We live in a pecan forest where my wife and I and our kids at that time, they're grown now, but where we lived, and I wanted grass, turf grass, and St. Augustine was my hope, and I finally realized I can't grow it. It's just not going to survive. I could see it falling out faster than my hair was falling out. And so I just changed to ground covers. And there are plenty of plants that will tolerate the shade quite well. In fact, I will give you some hints as to what those are after I take a break. And I'll give you the ways that you can have a beautiful landscape in spite of the shade. You don't have to take your trees out. I'm not trying to get you to remove all your trees. If you have some trees that are expendable, they're trash trees, maybe that came up beneath the power lines that need to come out anyway, then go for it. But most of the trees that we're talking about, and remember I mentioned fruitless mulberries, which are fast-growing trees a lot of people ended up with, or live oaks, which are giant spreading trees that cast heavy shade 12 months a year. You're not going to want to take out trees just because Neil said it's too shady under there. There are ground covers that will do quite well in the shade. You don't want to plant a ground cover beneath the shade of a fast-growing tree that's going to die soon. But if you have a live oak or a red oak or other big, long-lasting shade tree, and you want to try to get a ground cover going, you can do that. There are answers of how to have a landscape in heavy shade. That can happen. So anyway, the phone number, if you'd like to call, I think the phones are working. We're kind of checking that because it has been very quiet this morning. But that number, if you'd like to call, 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. We are live, and Nick would love to hear from you, 888-256-1080. He may have stepped out for a pizza. No, I'll just eat it here, thank you. 888, no, he wouldn't do that to me. 888-256-1080. He's in another studio. I don't always see Nick, but anyway, I was only kidding. Let me tell you about my website. It's neilsperry.com. There are a lot of things that are on that website. One of them is your link to sign up for eGardens. You know, we talked about eGardens, my free electronic newsletter. That's at my website. Everything circles around the website, neilsperry.com. That's the only place that you, well, that and by calling my office, the only place you can get my book, Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. It's not in stores, not on Amazon, so the website becomes pretty darn important. And the website is also the only place in the world, unless you have a copy of a book I wrote several years ago called 1001, it was called 1001 Most Asked Questions, because at that point FAQ wasn't a common term, but now that's what it is. It's the frequently asked questions. 1,000, actually now about 1,030 frequently asked questions that I get time and time again. And I just decided, you know what, that company went out of business, my book went down like a rock in the ocean, And so I resurrected it, and I went through and checked every answer, every question, make sure they all were accurate, and put it right on my website for free. So you have it there. The 1,030 questions. I spent a year writing that part of my website when it was a book. And it's yours for free if you go to neilsperry.com. So lots of things for you to look at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com. I hope you'll look. It's available to you. Let me let you listen to these two messages, and then we will be right back. All right, Kelly, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And folks, if you'd like to call, we'd love to hear from you. 888-256-1080. Let's take a call right now. We'll go to Jewel in College Station. Jewel, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing great. How can I help you?
Well, I just tuned in the last part of 1,000 questions and more. Right. Okay. St. Augustine. I've got St. Augustine in College Station. We finally see the sun today. Okay. The backyard is just like a swamp in places. I could throw baby fish in there and they'd grow, you know. And I just, my husband and I, we haven't been in to mow. We can't do anything like that. He's going to take the weed eater and try to make a place so the dog can relieve itself. What do we do? We're just looking at each other going, we've done everything we can do.
Well, having grown up in College Station and mowing yards for a living, I got a lot of gigs out of weather like that, like this, because people would try to go out and mow and they couldn't, and I had a mower that would handle tall grass, and so this is when my phone would ring. The fact is there will be dry weather at some point, and you just have to wait a few days or hopefully not too many weeks. And at that point, you may have to mow high the first time that you mow, and then about 2 or 3 days later, come back and drop the mower a notch or two and mow it again and do it in stages so that you don't end up just absolutely annihilating your grass when you do that. Effectively, you're going to be scalping your lawn when you mow it, which is not a bad thing at the end of February and going into March, so that's not going to be too bad. You just don't want to mow when the grass is wet and where you'll be throwing out these big clods of wet, super saturated stuff, and you don't want to leave tracks in the soil. But otherwise, that's all I can offer. The Bermuda is not going to die of disease at this time of year. The leaf blades and that's where the diseases would hit. If it were this wet in the summer, you'd be worried about leaf diseases and even root diseases, but it's kind of shut down for a while, and so I don't think that's going to be a problem at this time.
Well, how about him getting out there today and weeding a little bit?
That won't hurt anything. I'm not looking at your lawn. If he's not standing in water, I don't think that's going to be a problem. You don't want to leave tracks. You don't want to end up with your lawn being uneven because you got out there too soon and the soil was soft.
You know what? I really think that a lot of it's just been washed away.
No, not with what you've had in the last month. I was there during Hurricane Harvey for a class reunion. Our class from A&M Consolidated High School, I want to say that we had some very brilliant people in our graduating class, but they didn't come to that reunion. The rest of us came, and you guys had 18 inches that weekend. If it was going to wash away, it was already gone by this winter. No, you're fine. You're going to be fine.
Thank you, Neil.
You can do it.
You.
Jewel, I appreciate the call. Have a good one. Bye-bye. All right, let me go back and address a little bit about how you cope with heavy, heavy shade and ground covers that can be used to replace St. Augustine. So your pecking order in grasses in Texas. Number one, Bermuda has to have pretty much full sun or a little bit of shade. It needs 8 hours of sunlight. And I'm talking about in summer, during the growing season. It doesn't matter. It can be in the shade in the winter, but shade doesn't happen in the winter. Okay, so Bermuda needs 8 hours of summer sun. Zoysia, 7 probably. St. Augustine, as I mentioned, 6 or maybe 5. And then below 4, you're looking at ground covers. And the best shade-tolerant ground cover that I have seen for big parts of Texas would be mondo grass, monkey grass. It's Ophiopogon. It is a plant with about, or lily turf. It has four names for the same plant. Go figure. It's the sister, the small sister of Liriope, the one that has the lavender flowers. Mondo grass, monkey grass, does not have flowers that are conspicuous. I am not talking about dwarf mondo grass. That is not a good ground cover for big areas because it's too slow growing and because it can get some disease problems. So I would use it only for small spaces. So that's mondo grass. The next one I would use in shade, and I've had very good, and the reason I like it is in shade you usually have leaves that fall in autumn. Duh, you think? And you want something out of which you can blow the leaves easily. Mondo grass doesn't have any runners, and so you can take a blower and blow the leaves clean very easily. So my number two choice isn't going to be quite as good because it does have runners, and that's purple winter creeper euonymus. I use a lot of that, but I don't use it where I'm going to have a lot of leaves catching because they snag and it's hard to get rid of them, hard to clean it completely. English ivy is good if you have perfect drainage, and it has to have complete shade. Mondo grass can grow in full sun or pretty good shade. Liriope is a good ground cover if you have, if you can take something fairly tall, it'll get a foot tall. Those are my four top ground covers, just from pure ground cover status. Ajuga is a good ground cover in the shade, but kind of like dwarf mondo grass, it has some disease issues, so I use it only in small areas, where if it dies, I can easily replace it with something else. So those are the ground covers, and then I have a lot of shrubs in our shade. We have about an acre of our landscape, and it's all shaded. I have a lot of kinds of hollies, 35 kinds of hollies. The short ones are Carissa and Dwarf Yaupon, Dwarf Burford. I have Dazzler, which is no longer sold, but it's beautiful as a fairly short one, Dwarf Burford. Berry's Jubilee, again, no longer sold, but beautiful. And then a lot of other hollies that get taller. Mahonia is great in the shade. Akuba is great in the shade. And for taller shrubs that bloom, I have oak leaf hydrangea. If you're in East Texas, you can grow the mophead hydrangeas, the florist type hydrangeas. But for the rest of us in alkaline soil areas, I'm not going to recommend those. But oak leaf hydrangea does well over much of the state. So those are some of the good shrubs for the shade. A little taller, Japanese maples do well in the eastern half of the state, east of I-35, or maybe just a little bit west of I-35 and all the way to the Louisiana border. Japanese maples, but they need shade. And red buds are good in shade for an accent color tree. So that's a good start. I see Robert from College Station. Let me get my last break out of the way, and we'll come right back to you, Robert. Stay there. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. You can see our backyard in this book, Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. And if you want to see what all this looks like when you put it together, I have a copy down on the floor, and I'll get it. And while I'm doing the ad for the book, I'll find the number for you, page number. Anyway, it's 344 pages, 840 of my photographs, 11 chapters that cover all aspects of outdoor landscapes, lawns, and gardens for all of Texas. I hope you'll get the book, and I think you'll find it very, very helpful for you. I think you'll refer to it very often. Page 141 is our backyard. You can see just about everything I just described to you. Page 141. If you have it, you can look at it right now. This is a hardback book printed on high-quality paper by Clear Visions in San Antonio, on the north side of San Antonio. It is not in stores, and it's not on Amazon. It is only $33.95 plus tax and postage. I will promise you a full refund of every penny you spend on it, and I sign every copy of the book. I'll even personalize it to you, and I'll promise you that refund, even if I have signed it to you by name, if you're not satisfied with the book. We've sold better than 40,000 copies of the book, and I've signed every one of them except for the very first ones that pre-sold, and I've not been asked to refund any. People tell me that's the most useful thing they have bought. They tell me a lot of other nice things. I won't go into that, but I think you'll be very satisfied. But the only way you can get it is from my website or by calling my office. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, absolutely not a redo of my 1991 Cowboy Boot book, Complete Guide to Texas Gardening. You go to Amazon or you go into a store, that's what you'll find. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening. Get it at neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com, or call my office Monday through Friday, 800-752-GROW. The better way, neilsperry.com. The 1930s were difficult times for America. The country was in the Great Depression. Jobs were scarce, but hopes remained high. It was during that time that Mueller started making metal products. Now, more than 85 years later, the Mueller name is known across the South as the finest in quality steel and workmanship. Mueller and its products understand what it means to weather the storm. A Mueller metal roof is made to last and protect you and your most valued possessions from the harsh weather that we're accustomed to in our area. A Mueller metal roof can endure the intense sun, the heavy rain, hail, and snowstorm for years to come. That's a lot longer than a conventional roof. If you want peace of mind for the future, choose a metal roof for your home that's made by Mueller. Visit MuellerInc.com to learn more and to find a location near you. You'll see why a Mueller metal roof is the best thing to put over your head. Give them a call at 877-2-MUELLER. That's 877-268-3553, or stop by one of their 33 locations today. Mueller, made in America and made to last. I'll be back with more right after this message. All right, Kelly, thank you. Let's quickly go to Robert in College Station. Robert, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I have some Brazos flyberries that a friend gave me. He had volunteers coming up, so he doesn't know what variety they are exactly.
They had just sprouted up around the other plants?
Exactly.
They're Brazos. They're coming up from the roots.
Right. And so I planted them near a fence line that's got some small trees on it. I need to know different things like how much sun do they need and...
Brazos, let me do it quickly because I'm running out of time. Brazos blackberries need to be planted where they will last for many, many years. You want them in rows that are out in the open, not against a fence, because they will get 4 to 6 feet tall, and the rows need to be about 6 feet away from other rows of things. You can put them maybe 18 or 24 inches apart in the rows. You plant them this year. As root sprouts or root cuttings, you will not have any fruit this year. The canes that they produce this year will bear the fruit for next year, and then those canes will never bear again, so you cut them completely to the ground. And next year's canes, every year the canes that are produced that year will bear fruit the following year and then must be cut to the ground immediately after they bear. And so you keep going on that cycle. These sprouts will come up, and you can start more Brazos blackberries elsewhere in your garden if you want them. There's a wonderful sheet from Texas A&M. If you go to Aggie Horticulture Blackberries, it will take you right to that sheet, and you can find all the details of how to grow them. But don't put them up against trees against a fence. That's not a good way to grow them. It's a very productive fruit crop, a wonderful fruit crop.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. I'm not going to get him on the air, but Larry in Rockwood has covered his fruit trees on a cold night, and some friend has talked about putting a low-toxicity antifreeze over them. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's not anything I've ever heard of, and I don't think you want to be spraying stuff that isn't labeled. If that's a labeled suggestion, go for it, but I don't think it is. Happy gardening.